It was optimal measurement and estimation for quantum communication. It was completed in 1973, and this is remarkable for the real beginning of quantum information. After that, I think the main achievements of Strava have been the introduction of quantum stochastic processes. And he won a very prestigious award for that. That is the main state prize of the Russian Federation. The prize was shared with his former advisor Stratonovich, and the award was for the introduction of quantum stochastic integrals and quantum filtering. Previous awards winners are persons like Arnold, Gelfand, Pontryagin, Maslov. And this was really the main prize of Russia at the time. So contributions by Slava are, of course, and the pioneering contributions of quantum filtering and control theory. He also worked a lot on quantum channels, in distances, fidelities, and capacities. And also there are very nice works on state discrimination and on the introduction of what is known in quantum information and as the square root measurement. There are papers. I think this was in the PhD thesis or
it was after.
After, okay.
PhD thesis was on estimation, quantum estimation.
Oh, okay. Okay, so with this, I would like to invite Slava to give his talk with technology.
Okay, so it is my great pleasure to give a talk in such prestigious place as very much. The title I was thinking carefully because I wanted to tell so much things because there are many groups with this whom I can discuss many different things because I don't work just on mathematics or quantum theory as it was announced by the organizer. But as he said, my PhD thesis was written in 1972, and I believe this was the first PhD in the world on quantum information. In fact, among all results which you know, sort of like folklore, I can tell you what many things I proved. For example, that optimal measurement in Gaussian quantum channels is coherent, not non-orthogonal measurement, and optimal estimation is given by linear basis coherent measurement is appropriate linear transformations. And also, I introduced what is now known as Hollermann bound for quantum capacity. In 1973, I published a paper with Stratonovich, and later, Hollermann introduced his approach, which is now known. From this time, mostly, unfortunately, not many results are known because quantum information started in the middle of the 60s. But this is a method and started mostly in Russia and in America, in the United States. There were only two competing countries. There were also conferences of quantum information going on every second and third year in the Soviet Union. This was not conference on quantum information, it was just a session on quantum information channels in the general mathematical and communication conference, which was called Information Theory, with every second year in Soviet Union, in different places. And many American people were coming. In Europe, nobody worked on this. In Australia, in Canada, nobody, but just in Russia and in Soviet Union and America. But in the end of the 70s, when I thought that I did everything in quantum estimation and measurement theory without dynamics, I decided to move to the dynamic problem. And I found first that it was not possible to do anything without wild things like projection postulate. Because you want to condition, you want to measure something and want to condition. Moreover, I was thinking about measurements in continuous time. If you measure in continuous time, quantum mechanics is not valid anymore. There is no place between measurements when Schrödinger equation is valid. What are the equations in this case? But this was my problem. But I didn't expect that it would develop in what some people suggested to call quantum mechanics. This is not my formulation, but formulation of my friends, because they think that this is absolutely new idea and new interpretation of quantum theory. But this all started just from very technical things. How to estimate and filter signals in quantum channels continuously in time. The problem is absolutely in parallel of classical communication problem. So, let me start from, so I'm not the best person to explain these things in layman terms, because I'm, after all, more mathematicians than physicists. But as you see, some people try to explain in layman terms on the web, and this theory, so maybe this was I found just today, this morning, on the web, and this explanation. There are also some other places where you can find this. So I would like to give this presentation also I'm not going to show you all the theory. I will give the postulate also in general setting. And what is amazing that I believe that this theory can also be developed in all other areas of physics, like quantum relativity and even quantum gravity. And it is in very well correspondence with such ideas like Big Bang, quantum universe, emergence of trajectories of information, and the increase of entropy from nothing, from few states. But before to explain how this all works, let me give you a few personal table of contents and the place where I started from. I started from, as you understand, in the 1970s. So my first paper was in 1972 on quantum estimation, quantum optimal quantum measurement. And I think at the same time, Richard Feynman formulated his understanding of quantum mechanics, which is presented here. That he thinks that nobody understands quantum mechanics, he said. My students don't understand, I don't, and I can safely say that nobody understands quantum mechanics. And largely it is still so. So people struggle with different interpretations, everybody understands little bits one side of quantum mechanics or quantum theory. And in general, I believe even in this audience, many people just work on different interpretations, different things. Because quantum mechanics is so rich theory, mathematically and physically and interpretationally, that everybody can find something for himself. So, but still, I think there is something in common, and my understanding was not, and development was not trying to find a new interpretation. I wanted just to make a consistent probabilistic interpretation in the way how it was suggested by founders of quantum theory, like Bohr, Heisenberg, and Born, and Schrödinger. So, this is why, first I will speak just tell you what is not quantum quantum mechanics, what is this, what is not. Second, we'll discuss about causality, and then prove some theorems about non-existence of classical quantum interaction or interface. And then we will give you some model problems like the construction of chaos and randomness, from which you will see that quantum mechanics, if it was not even invented by the inventors of the beginning of the 20th century, it would be anyway invented if you wanted to explain the visible chaos of the events, which is irreducible, because we cannot explain in classical terms why photons or particles come randomly in time. We cannot predict when they will exactly come, among sort of particles. Why elementary particles decay? They never live for long. So this is why we could simply invent quantum mechanics in purely mathematical terms, not from experimental data. If it pose such a problem like one of these two problems which are listed here. Okay, let me say what is quantum mechanics.
Sorry, Which problems? Because I think we could not...
The problems, for example, reconstruction of randomness and measurement. We see that world is random, and this randomness is irreducible. It cannot be deduced from classical mechanics. So after all, this is why we know about quantum world, because we don't see quantum world. Quantum world is hidden. It is a thing as Kant stone. You know, the philosopher, German philosopher Kant, he said that stone is something which you cannot see. So quantum theory of microworld is something like the stone, unless you open it and see the projection on the measurement data, on the measurement device, you cannot see anything what is going on inside. And we know only because we measure some random events, like decay of particles, arrival of elementary particles, and this is all that we know about quantum theory, about microworld. So, event mechanics is event, and hence quantum mechanics is causality. It's not some, it's quantum mechanics, but it is event, and hence quantum mechanics, which has causality. It does not contradict the usual quantum mechanics as a special case with trivial causality. In usual quantum mechanics, there is no causality. It is trivial causality. There is causality, but it's trivial. In class, the classical mechanics is also included as a case with total causality. It keeps all causal symmetries, for example, the restricted Lorentz group, or positive shifts, but abandons the time reflections as non-causal. After all, we are born to die, but not vice versa. The Heisenberg dynamics is irreversible, but it is injectively endomorphic on the total operator algebra of all predicates of the world. Predicates are some propositions or some properties or some observables which can be predicted by causality. So, Heisenberg dynamics is irreversible, but it is injectively endomorphic. Endomorphic means all canonical commutation relations will be preserved. Like it should be in quantum field theory. So it doesn't contradict to quantum mechanics, it doesn't contradict to quantum field theory. However, in the Schrodinger picture, it is induced by the reversible unitary evolution on the appropriate Hilbert space. So you see, it might happen that quantum mechanics claim that Schrodinger dynamics and Heisenberg dynamics are not equivalent. Because Heisenberg dynamics is irreversible, Schrodinger dynamics is not. How it could happen? Yes, it could happen. And this is exactly what we explore in event mechanics. I will explain why it can happen. Thus, it is not the phenomenological quantum instrumental dynamical theory like completely positive maps or channels. It is not, because it preserves all canonical computation relations. All products are preserved. Completely positive maps do not preserve products. But the instrumental dynamical theory can be dilated, and the causal dilation of the instrumental information theory or instrumental dynamical theory gives you an example of eventual mechanics. But eventual mechanics is not necessarily the minimum dilation. You can build only the minimal dilation from instrumental dynamics. But eventual mechanics is constructive. Such dilations of instruments, they are usually not constructive. Such thing theorem is not constructive. Infinite dimensions, at least. In Neimann theory, too. But eventual mechanics gives you not minimal, but constructive dilations in terms of differential equations. In fact, it is the only fundamental operational causal theory containing quantum mechanics with a consistent probabilistic interpretation. Okay, so I think the first inventor of quantum mechanics was Aristotle, who said the whole is more than sum of its parts. You know, because of entanglement. Yes. So if you take that state, partial state, it is another partial state, and they oppose in mixed state, but together they are in two states. So Aristotle's. The entropy, so now I formulate a few axioms, a few things well known of quantum mechanics which are very beautiful but which are not satisfactory. They are not causal. The entropy of system A, or Alice if you want, quantum Alice, decreases by zero by a standard extension of a factor. This is a factor algebra, like algebra of operators of Hilbert space. Or algebra over so-called type 2 or type 3. So it's a factor in such algebra which has a trivial center. So if you take a union with its covertant, it is the algebra of operators. Composing the quantum system A with its antipod or transpose in prime. So this is quantum mechanics. So therefore it deals only with factors. Even with simple factors like 0 H. Which are type 1. If there is a quantum universe, it must be described by a factor B of H, the algebra of all operators, with a pu initial state omega. Otherwise, it can be extended by fuzzy purification of omega. Is it obvious? The unitary Schrödinger dynamics induces on the algebra of all operators the reversible Heisenberg dynamics because of the equivalence of Heisenberg and Schrödinger dynamics, which is in fact true only for the algebras which consist of all operators. You cannot prove this equivalence if the algebra doesn't consist of all operators. Quantum causality and the interpretation. Quantum causality requires that all future properties of quantum world, of quantum universe, should be predicates, which means at any time they should be predictable in the probabilistic way by past measurements or observable events. It's obvious. Not deterministically predictable, but statistically. We know how to predict in statistics and probability theory. My specialty was statistics, information, trust, information, and probability. So for me, it is a very trivial thing, but I understand that many physicists have a different background. They don't study neural probability in statistics and information theory, but then it's difficult to explain why. So what is statistical causality? So statistical causality is strong, is weaker than deterministic. Statistical causality means that by measurement data we can predict the conditional probabilities of something which will happen in the future. Not necessarily the exact data, but at least with which probability something will happen. This is causality.
So, question. If I have a sequence, if I do a measurement of Z spin and then F spin and then Z spin, I cannot predict the outcome of the final Z spin just given the outcome of the first Z spin. I need, or if there's some intermediate measurement, it will affect the statistics for the future one.
Yes, but normally we understand by causality that you keep records, all measurement up to time t, therefore your measurement data grow. So we have growing so-called adapted processes, and then we can predict better and better and better. So we take into account all past information and keep records. So this is prediction theory. Prediction, causal prediction theory is called, in other words, filtering theory. It uses all information up to time t. So this is the same I'm going to do. I did in quantum theory. This is where quantum mechanics has grown up. When I solved the problem of quantum filtering. So this was first understood. So we keep all data.
So another question then. I don't really understand what the alternative would be. I mean, other people might say this is a definition of a state. A state is that which allows you to specify all the probabilities for any measurement. So do you have in mind a theory which would be quantum acausal, given that definition of state?
No, state is one thing, but a part of state, so but state is given at each time. So suppose as a time key, what things do I have? I have my memory where I kept the records of all measurements up to time key. Well, maybe I didn't keep any, but somebody kept. Right? So if I have access to this measurement data, I can always predict the state better. And I believe that if I have access to the full data, which were not lost, the state would be pure purification. Right? So the maximal knowledge. Pure state is the state of maximal knowledge. Reality is a state with maximal knowledge. Maximal knowledge, so maximality is not the greatest knowledge, it's maximal. They could be incompatible. We know that maximal and the greatest element in partial order itself is not the same. Maximal is not unique, but greatest is always unique. So I speak about maximal. So each pure state is maximal knowledge, but they might be not compatible. In classical case, they are always compatible. They are orthogonal. A property or question, quantum question, Q question, is predictable in the pure state P, H means a Hilbert space vector, with respect to an event. I do not have a pointer. With respect to an event E, event is also orthoprojective.
You just stand in front of the screen and point straight at it.
Okay, so I have a pointer.
Or just stand right in front of
it. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
So, property. So now I will speak about only projectors, orthoprojectors. So some projectors are called properties, questions or predicates, and others are called events. And they are different. Events is something which you can measure and predict. And properties are not necessarily measurable things, but they are predictable. So what does it mean to predict? So suppose we have state, we have event, and we have a question. So for each predicate and for each event, we should be able to predict, which means that this probability can be written in this way, where this is probability of question Q under the condition that you know event E, multiplied by the probability of E, plus the prediction of the question Q if the opposite, or if the answer was no to this question, which means yes to this orthogonal question, multiplied on the probability of this orthogonal question. And for each Q, and for predicate, and for each event E, you should have such equality. It is called the equality of condition. It's absolutely plain, like in classical problems. This is the equation of predictability. So here, this is orthogonal event. This is what I mean by prediction. We first act on the Hilbert space vector. You first act on the Hilbert space vector by an orthoprojector E, because this is what you first measure and then predict. And then you multiply by Q, and this, because these two are orthoprojectors, the modulus square of this reduced vector gives you the probability, and if you condition now by the probability of the event E, this is conditional probability. It's like in any elementary probability. So it's called a posteriori probability of Q with respect to E. This is a priori probability, this is a posteriori probability. Unlike in the classical case, not every orthoprojector Q is a predicate with respect to a given event in quantum mechanics. Okay, now we can formulate a very simple theorem which shows that in quantum mechanics there is no causality. The causality is trivial. There is no predicate. All predicate, but there is no event. Theorem. Q is predictable with respect to an event E. E is autoprojective and Q is autoprojective. For any hyperspace vector, if and only if they do commute. Which means that Q should be in the commutant of the autoprojective E. Which means that if you have the algebra of all operators as predicates, then your events are either 0 or 1. No events. Nothing to measure. Quantum mechanics and quantum theory is a stone in itself, unless you open it and measure. Quantum mechanics has no interpretation. Interpretation of pure quantum mechanics has no interpretation without opening it. So thus, the deterministic interpretation is incompatible with the experimental data, but the probabilistic interpretation of is causally inconsistent. No system property, Q, except the trivial one, Q equals 1, can be tested without demolition of the system. Demolition of the system has been open. When you demolish stone, when you open the stone, you demolish it.
Aren't you demolishing also when you measure commuting?
There is nothing to quantum system, quantum mechanical system consists of all operators. So therefore, if you want to something to be predictable with respect to a given autoprojector E, it must commute with it. So therefore, there will be always some properties which do not commute. So therefore, they are not predictable. So therefore, it is the theory without interpretation. If something is
projectors, so don't represent measurements.
No, not every projector. So my question is, there are some projectors which represent properties or questions or future questions. In future they might become events. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, at the time T, some properties are not events. They are in future. They live in future. And what it can be measured just now is called event. Or in the past.
What do you mean what can be?
Hmm?
What can be? Or what?
Just now, not everything can be measured.
Why?
Just now because something is not accessible to me. It's not everything accessible. It is alive. It is alive. Something comes from future. So wait a bit. You will see some interesting things. So therefore, it puzzled me very much. And then I tried to find a solution of, nevertheless, of quantum prediction problem like in classical case. I knew very well classical filtering theory, which was discovered and developed by my teacher, Stratonovich. He considered two worlds, both were classical. One is unobservable, another is observable. Input and output over channel. And he asked, how can I predict the input signal if I don't see him, if I measure in time, continuously in time, the output? And he derived an equation which gives you the dynamics of the process, input process, conditioned upon the data of the output up to time t. And since time grows, data grows, the equation becomes very nice and stochastic. And it is called Stratonovich equation, or Fitting equation. Or in modern physical terms, we would call this classical stochastic master equation. So, I started from this model. Very simple model. Consider a model of free quantum particle of unit mass. Canonical commutation relations, then solve Heisenberg equations. P is a conserved, and this is growth with time. And you can see that x of t, the trajectory of free particle, is an observable process, because not only because it doesn't commute with other operators, it doesn't commute also with itself at different times. So therefore, such non-commuting operators, although each is self-adjoint, cannot be reduced diagonalized simultaneously. No sense of there is no nonsense to speak about trajectories of quantum particles, of pre quantum particles. But I found absolutely remarkable thing in 1978-79, that if I add to these operators, Heisenberg operators of free quantum particle, one dimensional free quantum particle unit mass, an error process, error for measurement, which could be maybe as small as you like. It becomes observable up to independent error process E of t if the dynamical equations is perturbed in the following way. I will add now, for free particle it was zero, there was no force. But now I will perturb the dynamics by sort of Langevin force, some external force. And this is the perturbation. So this is still the same equation as for free particle of unit mass. This just says the velocity is p. And this is now a non-zero perturbation, so-called Langevin force. And if this Langevin force satisfies the, I call this, error perturbation canonical commutation relations, where this is delta function of the difference r and t, then this process becomes commutative. And you can measure it. It has trajectories. It's just linear system of equations. You just make an exercise. In 15 minutes, you will find it. Moreover, y of t is causally non-degradation process in the sense that operator y of r commutes with all future operators of the system. They commute with the coordinate operator and momentum operator for all t. You see, t is greater than r, but will not commute for t smaller than r. Again, exercise. So therefore, I can predict future. But the past doesn't need prediction. I derive. Because it is classical. The past is always classical. The quantum world lives in future. If I want the world, quantum world, to be predictable, it must live in future. And it will be predictable with respect to the non-degradation processes. And I found such process. This is the first example of non-degradation process. Cause of the non-degradation. So I introduced this term non-degradation process, which is now sort of folklore. But in the 70s, it was hard to say what is this. Remember this. So. Note that we have also derived for free the exact formulation of the famous Heisenberg error perturbation uncertainty principle, which has never been proved, but Heisenberg formulated it, but it was never proved. But we proved it, because we can take, now we have canonical commutation relations for error and perturbation, then you apply usual uncertainty principle for two non-commuting and secondary commuting operators, canonical commutation relations, and you will find immediately that the covariance of error and covariance of perturbation is always greater than h divided by 2. Whenever you want to measure more precisely, you should perturb the system. The perturbation of the system is greater. And these two coefficients, they just define the intensities of the forces and perturbations realized as white noises. This is white classical white noise. This is another classical white noise. But together, they are not classical, because they don't commute. They cannot be realized in classical probability. Therefore, we needed quantum probability. We needed the notion of quantum stochastic process. And quantum field theory doesn't give it, because it doesn't work. It doesn't give us the such computational relations as other quantum theory. So you need extended quantum stochastic field theory. And this is where quantum stochastic field theory or quantum stochastic process is started from. So now it is a very huge, very well developed area. It belongs to mathematical physics for just mathematics, but it's still not completely understood by in physics. It is more general than quantum field theory. It is quantum field. It is more general in the sense, like stochastic classical process is more general than dynamical deterministic process. It is more general, classical stochastic field is more general than deterministic classical field. So it's sort of open system, open field. Okay, so now this is the confirmation of my thesis, and it belongs, you see, to Lorenz Bragg, the Nobel Prize winner. He said, and I like this very much, because this is exactly coincided with my discovery in the 70s, but I found this quotation only in the in 2000, when I was preparing my inaugural talk on to celebrate 100 years of discovery of quantum. So he said, everything in future is away, everything in the past is a particle. So the past is classical. It consists of the trajectories of quantum particles kept in the record, in the memory of some classical computer, or in the library, in the form of inks, in the books, is classical. Everything is classical. There is nothing quantum in the past. Everything what is kept is in information recorded in the books, or now in hard disk of classical computers, in the memory. And everything what is quantum is related only to future. And therefore, it can be predicted using non-dimensional processes. The universe, therefore, now I use postulates of quantum mechanics. They are slightly different than the postulates of quantum mechanics. First, the universe is described now not by de facto, but by the commutant of an abelian classical algebra, which is the algebra for the universal memory, where we keep records of the histories, or it is related with a little bit with the theory of consistent histories. But the consistent history quantum mechanics is non-constructive. They don't have any constructive example. It is just phenomenological theory which describes the things in proper words, but doesn't give any model. While quantum mechanics is constructive theory, will give you plenty of words. It is not just mathematical physics theory. So, generated by all compatible observables events E, commutative on a hyperspace H in an initially pure state omega. So, like in quantum mechanics, the universe is initially in the pure state. But it has universal memory. What is going on now? The entropy on an eventum subalgebra. Eventum subalgebra is an algebra which is in between, which contains the universal memory, but it is smaller or equal to the algebra of all operators commuting with this memory, such that the memory is always in the center. And therefore, you can predict any state by an observation on the center. So this is the postulate how to describe quantum's law. Not by factors now, but by algebras which are in between the memory and between the commutants to the memory. It decreases to the entropy induced on the center under the extension of the algebra and its commutant. So this is replacement of the purification postulate in the quantum mechanics. It says that you cannot, in general, decrease entropy to zero and make the state pure. But you can decrease it up to the central probability, up to the uncertainty in the memory. the unitary dynamics on any autonomous subsystem must be stable. This is a postulate that if you take a subsystem, an algebra, which is in this interval, and you, if you think that this subsystem is autonomous, the dynamics should be described in terms of the canonical commutational preserving endomorphisms. Right? But not necessarily reversible. But they still can preserve all canonical combination relations. And autonomous in the sense that algebra will be mapped into the algebra. Heisenberg transformations will map the algebra into the algebra. Not into outside. Otherwise, the universe is not closed. So this is the postulate of the closeness of the universe. Autonomy of the algebra with respect to unitary evolutions. The probabilistic interpretation is consistent on R if only the center of algebra R is growing this time, such that the center or initial center is included into the center at the moment t. So the algebra shrinks because it is mapped into itself, but the center is growing. And this is why we can have emergent gravity, we can have emergent chaos and everything else. Okay, so this is a postulate, but now we need a realization. So one of the realizations I showed you, this is just very simple linear models of free particles with Langevin box, which makes a non-trivial causal process. Okay, now you formulate a very simple problem. Is it possible to have a reversible Hamiltonian interaction between classical and quantum subsystems? Which means reversible quantum classical interface. If it is possible, then there wouldn't be measurement problem, because even Bohr suggested that quantum measurement problem, if this is really a problem, should have a solution in such a way that a quantum system should interact with a measurement device which must be macroscopic, he said, which means classical, in my words, or described by commuting observables. But the interaction must be like quantum interaction, he said. This is a program of Bohr. He suggested that measurement problem should be solved in this way, when he discussed, when he argued with Einstein about EPR paradox. But the problem was that nobody has ever constructed such interaction. In fact, the next theorem shows that it is impossible. No, the answer is impossible to find a reversible interaction or reversible interface or unitary gate, if you want, which would describe a reversible interaction of classical and quantum computer. It is non-existence of reversible interface of classical quantum computer in modern computation language. But from the point of view of Bohr, it is just no solution or measurement problem in terms of the reversible dynamical transformations. No measurement problem solution in usual quantum mechanics. Why usual? Because usual quantum mechanics is a category. The morphism in this category are reversible transformations. Heisenberg transformation is reversible. Schrödinger transformation is reversible. So therefore, no solution in the category of usual quantum mechanics.
Sorry, why can't I do a controlled knot between classical systems?
Huh?
Why can't I do a controlled knot?
You can do, but take quantum and classical.
Yes.
And then take the unitary knot on the algebra. Apply Heisenberg transformation. Take sandwich, so-called adjoint transformation on the algebra, and you will see this is a theorem. It is just a theorem. Suppose you have algebra of all operators on a Hilbert space F, and take the diagonal algebra on the another Hilbert space H. So you have classical and quantum system. One is diagonal on one Hilbert space, another is algebra of all operators on the other Hilbert space. Take tensor, null tensor product, And you have represented this composed system on the tensor product of two hyperspaces. Now, suppose you have unitary gate, which acts, makes this interaction of fast and quantum. And autonomity means that such operator must still belong to the algebra B, which is tensor product of C and A. One is diagonal, another is integral. If theta is reversible, has a transformation, if it is reversible, induced by unitary transformation, then C is autonomous, which means that theta applied to only classical system will leave the classical system invariant, and it will never know about the existence of loops. No information transfer from quantum world to classical. We wouldn't know anything about quantum world, because we know about quantum world only because of the interaction of classical measurement devices with microscopic world. So therefore, the proof is trivial. You can read it. It's just this. It is very simple. The center of any algebra remains invariant under any automorphism of the algebra. That's all. This is why no gate will give you will give you interaction between classical quantum computer if it induces the reversible Heisenberg transformation of the algebra. So therefore we are going to give up something. Because we don't want to have measurement problem. We don't want to have paradoxes of quantum theory. Okay, some people make the career on paradoxes. I think it would be boring without paradoxes and without problems, yes. But still in engineering we have to deal with real things and not just play games, intellectual games, yes. So we have to give up something. And what I'm going to give up? I will give up the reversibility of unitary induced transformation on a decomposable algebra A. So unitary means it, on the level of hyperspace, the dynamics is reversible. Because unitary is reversible. Every unitarity is reversible. It has reverse, inverse, which is adjoint. But I will give up that the reversibility of the induced transformation on the algebra. Because the true quantum dynamics is not wave dynamics. It is the dynamics on the algebra. Because the vector state vectors, they have no meaning. They have just they just keep records of our knowledge about state. And the true things is just application of it to the algebra. So we will make, by giving up this reversibility of Heisenberg, but keeping reversibility of the Schrödinger in the Schrödinger picture, we will make our event-enhanced quantum mechanics consistent with the probabilistic interpretation. And in fact, this is what I already demonstrated, such possibility on the example of free particle with observable outer process. Okay, so I will now formulate such a little problem, very simple mathematical problem. The problem of irreducible chaos. Given a probability distribution, classical probability distribution, this is how we could derive quantum mechanics purely from classical probability. So suppose we are given a probability distribution on a measurable space X. It describes, say, photo counting or whatever, random events. Find a unitary dynamics, theta, for a product system, C and B naught, where B naught is an auxiliary system, such that it induces the probability from a few joint state omega. Induces means it's You apply unitary transformation, send it to the events, and calculate in the pure state the probability. If you will introduce the probability, you would say that you solve the problem of deducing classical chaos. This is classical chaos because classical distribution from pure quantum state by unitary dynamics. And this would be beautiful if you could do this. Because we could explain then any chaos. If we can do this for any probability distribution, we can explain any chaos in terms just pure dynamics and pure quantum state. That's why we need quantum world. Is it possible in the category of classical systems? Means, is it possible to do this program if I take this ordinary system also classical? This is classical, C for classical, and this is also, take this, the other system is also classical. No, it is not possible. Because there is no purification of classical probability in classical world. Aerodynamics preserves a pure state, a maps pure states into pure state. Impossible. This is why we need quantum mechanics. This is why we would discover quantum mechanics anyway if it was not discovered by physicists. If you wanted to explain the visible chaos of the events. No, this is why we need quantum mechanics to explain the invisible chaos. The dynamical measurement problem, this is another problem. Given a distribution, operator value distribution, this is called positive operator value measure, made operational value measure, with operational values are given in this, which are normalized, so-called instrument, on the state rho, find a unit in dynamics on the tensor product of the system with auxiliary system, such that the instrument is induced on the direct measurement, which is also orthogonal positive operator value measure, in a pure state omega. This would give a solution of any measurement problem. For example, you can take this instrument corresponding to projector postulate. Vx take projectors, orthogonal projectors. Then, if it is possible, you would solve the measurement problem in the same way. If it is possible. Is it possible? Question? For finite auxiliary system? No, it is impossible. This is why you cannot find the solution in standard framework of quantum computations, which deals only with finite dimensional hyperspaces. We need infinite degrees of freedom, or at least infinite dimensional hyperspace. But if the dimensionality is infinite, it's possible. And now I do not have much time.
No, I think like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Or because we want to.
Yes. Okay. Questions. Okay. 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 Okay, so I think I can skip this. Okay, so I'm going to just outline the solution of such problem where we can induce the general probability distribution on any classical probability measure space by constructing a quantum auxiliary system which will produce the system. But as I said, this quantum system will be living at least in infinite dimensional hyperspace. First, we will take the simplest probability space as possible. It's just the space of classical bit. So it has just two states, 0 and 1. You have just classical bit, not quantum, classical. And suppose you have probability on the states, P0 and P1. And I want to find a quantum system and unitary interaction between them and pure state, joint pure state, which should be in fact product state, because on mixed quantum classical systems, the state, pure state is always product state, independent, such that it will induce this probability distribution on quantum bit. And this would be the solution of the problem of classical quantum interface of two bits. or at least one bit in something else. First step is just normal. Take this distribution, construct such diagonal matrix. From this distribution, you see this is diagonal, and this is, and construct such unitary transformation. You can easily see that this is unitary transformation. And take such a vector as a state vector. This will be on observation. Apply this unitary dynamics to your algebra, classical algebra. But you will see it is not sufficient because it doesn't keep this diagonal algebra autonomous. The diagonal algebra will become non-diagonal. So therefore, also hyperspace and system is finite dimensional, just two-dimensional hyperspace. We cannot find such dynamics because it induces the probability, such an event induces, but it doesn't leave the algebra environment. And this is why I said that it cannot be solved in terms of a finite dimension. Then I will make the following. Well, the idea is very simple. I can just use chalk and blackboard and then explain what is going on here. So, the idea is very simple. I have a classical bit. Has two states, 0 and 1, and her probabilities P0, P1. Right? So I want to construct an auxiliary quantum system, an interaction, and P state on the total system, such that the dynamics will, first of all, leave the algebra invariant. Second, it must be irreversible if it should give me the solution. But it will be given in terms of unitary transformation. And third, it will reproduce with the probability distribution. The answer is that the construction is very simple. To do this, to achieve this goal, I have to add quantum bits, but in fact, not what quantum bit. Quantum bit I have added already, it was not sufficient. But I will add an infinite chain of quantum bits. These are block spheres going to infinity. That's why my hyperspace will be infinite dimensional. Because this is the tensor product of finite dimensional hyperspaces, two dimensional hyperspaces. And it is still not yet sufficient if I want these dynamics to be induced by unitarities. For this, I will add classical bits on the left. Okay. So now I will construct free evolution, free unitary dynamics. Will shift the what is hyperspace? The hyperspace, total hyperspace, is infinite tensor product of two-dimensional hyperspaces where my classical bits are represented. You know, every classical system can be represented on the hyperspace, but only by diagonal operators. So therefore, I will take infinite tensor product on the left of small h, two-dimensional product. And tensor product with two-dimensional hyperspace where my spins live here. But of course, let me write this as f, and this is as h. Of course, this should be understood in polynomial sense, such as in tensor products. So this I have to choose a ground state. So this is infinite dimensional hyperspace, and the dynamics of it is very simple. It will simply shift hyperspace by one. This will be free dynamics. And then I will perturb this free dynamics by boundary value condition. I will put here a boundary condition. Unity, still unity. So this will be V. And then composition of U and V will be another unitary operator. Which will, if it is constructed properly, will leave the algebra, the total algebra of classical quantum bit invariant, which means algebra is mapped into itself. The state I will take, the ground state for classical quantum bits, 0, 0, 0 everywhere. Still that spin down. Here spin down and here 0. This is Q state, is product state. And I claim claims that if I construct this interaction, this boundary will be a problem, this unitary scattering, interface. If I will construct this this gate interface of classical quantum property, I will induce my probability distribution. So, therefore, it seems we need infinite degrees of freedom. But in fact, it's not necessary to have infinite degrees of freedom. What is necessary is just to have infinite dimensions of hyperspace. And the construction here is different, but it is unitary equivalent to this construction. The construction is following. So it is given in terms of not infinite tensor product of bits, classical quantum bits, but it is given in terms of two oscillators, one quantum and one diagonalized quantum, and in between it's just classical bits. So therefore my algebra will be classical C minus tensor to quantum C, A plus. C minus will be the set of all diagonal matrices on the Hilbert space index by Z minus. That one is just negative natural numbers. Up A plus, it is the algebra of operators of classical of quantum oscillator. You know, levels of quantum oscillator are indexed by 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. So it is just this algebra. And then the construction is based on I. And then I will make a unitary interaction in this way, and I will add the shift. So this is how my unitarities, two unitarities add. One is just shift, and the other one is scattering. So you see, it is all written in terms of the summation modulus 2, because x and m, these are all x is a finite number. So to have still finite number, I have to take the summation up to x of n is sort of oddness or evenness of n, so it has just to go to 0, 0, and 1. And so it is very nice, rather, from the point of view of computer science, because it gives use of encoding of natural numbers in terms of bits. So therefore, thus the defined in this way unitary evolution leaves the algebra invariant, where the algebra B is the algebra of two or three algebras. This is quantum bit algebra, this is infinite chain of quantum bits, but not quantum bits, but quantum oscillator, just one bosonic oscillator. And this is another diagonal algebra, which is also realized as algebra of Hilbert space for square summable sequences. Moreover, if epsilon is pure quantum state given by ground states, zero states everywhere, then it will induce me, the state will induce me my probability distribution on any observable, on the classical, on the first classical system in this chain. Okay, proof is just one page, so I don't have much time. So the event to mechanics is the minimum. So now, conclusion. So what is event to mechanics? I will show you that event to mechanics is sort of hidden variable theory, but it is upside down, hidden variable theory. In which sense it is upside down? The event to mechanics is the minimal extension of quantum mechanics consistent with the probabilistic interpretation. It is time asymmetric quantum mechanics with irreversible Heisenberg evolution, non-equivalent to the inducing reversible Schrödinger evolution. It does not explain macro world by classical hidden variables, but explains the macroscopic randomness by drawing the events from the fundamentally hidden micro world. So what is hidden? Is quantum, what is visible is classical. It's upside down hidden variable theory. Because hidden variable theory says that what is visible is quantum, what is hidden is classical. Quantum mechanics is upside down. It's absolutely clear, because quantum is microscopic, means you never see, it is stone in itself. What is visible is always classical, it can be recorded and kept in the memory of classical computer. So What is visible is always classical, what is hidden is common. So it adds to physics of matter, 18th century or 19th century. The fields were added in the 19th century to physics. And now we added the third missing component in 20th century, the memory for the storing the classical history of quantum information. So it just not, we just added a third component to physics. So first physics was in, was about just matter in 18th century. In the 19th century, physics incorporated a new notion like field. And now we see that to have a theory with consistent probabilistic interpretation, we need to incorporate, to extend it further, and to incorporate a new ingredient, sort of universal memory. Will be maybe memory of our brain, whatever, or memory of the world. Thus, the program of Bell have a jump in the equation, and not just the top, was completely in full realized. So it was outlined by Bohr and Schrödinger, and we derived the corresponding equations which explain this jumps. So I have the full classification of the so-called stochastic master equation. Well, when I discovered this equation in the 80s, my colleagues call this equation the Larkin equation. But in the 90s, these equations were discovered by physicists independently, I believe, but they were not derived. They were discovered simply as a sort of stochastic representation of instruments. And now they have not discovered the whole set of this equation. They discovered just diffusion equations. And they call this equation, then very famous in quantum optics, in stochastic feedback control. So they call this equation quantum master stochastic master equation. Stochastic quantum master equation. So some people suggested that I should change my name to master. Okay, so classical. Okay, I think this is about brain interpretation.
So I think I should try to stop on this. I suggest that since we started late and we are maybe a little bit late on time, we can conclude the seminar here and continue like informal discussions together. So we leave the question for the informal discussion. So I suggest just to thank Slava once again, and interested people can remain now to continue.
Okay. Question regarding time symmetry.